In today's news headlines, the House Judiciary Committee began debating its articles of impeachment against President Donald Trump on Wednesday night, kicking off a contentious and argumentative rhetorical battle as the minority party remained determined to throw up as many roadblocks as possible ahead of the committee's vote. The ranking Republican on the committee, Doug Collins of Georgia, complained that his party had no rights, even though they were fully participating in the proceedings.
But for reporters and for media and people who've watched this body and the institution that I've loved all of my life and watched it since I was an intern up here being destroyed day after day, if the minority has no rights, and one day this majority will be back in the minority, and they will be crying and screaming for minority rights to be upheld. And I'll just point back to 2019 and say, this is the year you put a dagger in minority rights.
The debate continued on Thursday morning, and Democratic Congresswoman from California, Zoe Lofgren, who's participated in the last three presidential impeachments, raised the issue of Trump's affair with Stormy Daniels in the context of the Clinton impeachment.
The argument that somehow lying about a sexual affair is an abuse of presidential power, but the misuse of presidential power to get a benefit somehow doesn't matter. If it's lying about sex, we could put Stormy Daniels' case ahead of us. We don't believe that's a high crime and misdemeanor.
Gentlewoman yield.
No, and it is not before us, and it should not be for us, because it's not an abuse of presidential power. I yield back.
The gentleman's time has expired. For what purpose?
Republican Representative Matt Gaetz of Florida was among those who continued to justify Trump's abuse of power in attempting to gain a political edge in the election by leveraging U.S. military aid.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And again, it's important to analyze the burden of proof here. It's the Democrats who are saying any question about the Biden situation, Burisma, it could only be an abuse of power. And I think this amendment really reflects how the president was using his power perfectly.
Congressman Jamie Raskin of Maryland countered that it was ludicrous to consider Trump an anti-corruption crusader.
That he reduced anti-corruption funding for Ukraine, except he doesn't raise it anywhere else that we can find. And what do you know? You pick up the New York Times yesterday, President Trump had to pay $2 million to charities because he ripped off his own charity for millions of dollars. This is the anti-corruption crusader they want us to believe in. The guy who had to pay $25 million to students at the phony Trump University, which the Attorney General of New York called a classic bait-and-switch operation.
Ahead of the Judiciary Committee's debate on impeachment, House Intelligence Chair Adam Schiff turned over a piece of classified evidence around a phone call between Ukraine's president and U.S. Vice President Mike Pence. The White House Office of Management and Budget, which has come under scrutiny for delaying the military aid to Ukraine, just filed a new legal memo justifying the delay and saying that it was routine. And CNN is reporting that if Trump is impeached and the Senate takes up the charges, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is moving to acquit the president rather than to just dismiss the articles of impeachment. Civil liberties advocates are combing through the recently released Justice Department Inspector General report on the FBI's motives for the Russia interference probe. Although the report confirms that there was no partisan effort inside the FBI aimed at Trump, it does expose the government's surveillance overreach. Hina Shamsi of the ACLU told the New York Times that the concerns the Inspector General identifies apply to intrusive investigations of others, including especially Muslims, and far better safeguards against abuse are necessary. Former Attorney General Eric Holder, who served under President Obama, ripped the current AG William Barr in a scathing op-ed in the Washington Post on Wednesday night, calling Barr unfit for his office. Holder accused Barr of making statements and taking actions, quote, that are so plainly ideological, so nakedly partisan, and so deeply inappropriate for America's chief law enforcement official that they demand a response from someone who held the same office. In spite of the partisan battles playing out over impeachment, the House of Representatives just passed a massive military budget in renewing the National Defense Authorization Act, or NDAA, with bipartisan support. The NDAA increased the military budget by a whopping $22 billion from the previous year, and Democratic supporters of the bill lauded it as progressive. California Representative Ro Khanna, who voted against it, ripped into the vote on the House floor.
There are many things that you can call the bill, but it's Orwellian to call it progressive. This defense budget is $120 billion more than what President Obama left us with. That could fund free public college for every American. It could fund access to high-speed, affordable internet for every American. But it's worse. The bipartisan provision to stop the war in Yemen, stripped by the White House. The bipartisan amendment to stop the war in Iran, stripped by the White House. The bipartisan provision to repeal the 2002, the George W. Bush authorization for the war in Iraq, which is sending our troops overseas, stripped by the White House. At some time, we can't just rhetorically give standing ovations when the president says we're going to end endless wars and continue to vote to fund them.
That's Congressman Ro Khanna, one of the few voices of opposition to the NDAA renewal, which passed with bipartisan support. The House is expecting to pass a prescription drug bill that would bring down the costs of pharmaceuticals, as Trump and some Republicans have said they wanted to do. But perhaps because the bill is sponsored by Democrats, the White House has already indicated it will veto it. Meanwhile, New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez ripped into health insurance industry tactics in a tweet on Wednesday evening, pointing out that, quote, health insurance costs have gone up 20% in the past year. Meanwhile, big pharma and insurance lobbyists treat congressional staffers to spa weekends. She linked to evidence of the 20% increase and the spa weekends that congressional staffers are treated to by lobbyists. The House on Wednesday passed the Farm Workforce Modernization Act, which gives, among other things, legal status to thousands of undocumented agricultural workers across the U.S. The bill passed along party lines and was welcomed by agricultural industry representatives. Conservatives predictably slammed it as a, quote, mass amnesty for immigrants. As part of Trump's remaking of the judiciary, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell helped the president confirm his 50th Circuit Court judge this week. By comparison, President Obama confirmed 55 Circuit Court judges over 8 years of his presidency. Between Trump and McConnell, there's more to come. Politico explained that, quote, now that he's filled virtually every vacancy in the powerful appellate court system, the Senate Majority Leader will try and cram through 18 lower-level lifetime judges next week, some of them supported by Democrats. And finally, voters in Britain are heading to the polls on Thursday in a contentious election that was prompted by the never-ending Brexit saga. It is the third general election in 5 years, and voters will pick their parliamentary representatives for 650 seats. The majority party will declare victory, and polls have shown the Conservative Tory party favored to win. But the Labour Party, led by Jeremy Corbyn, could make inroads as it casts itself as a defender of the nation's universal healthcare system. And that does it for our news headlines today.